Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back to Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, where improvisers who've never role-played before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. I am the Grand Wizard Bukake, your host. Our heroes are preparing for the next steps of their hell venture. Moonhammer remembered her brother and her husband. Butthole caught up with Juniper about their shared pasts, and Reginald discovered more of Sunsight's secrets before Quinny led the way to the Archive. Can our heroes pull off a heist and win a popularity contest? Find out next on Dumb Dumbs and Dragons.
It is the night of God Prom. Your dress, made of butts, looks amazing. Chevy Horse Nuts did a great job. Juniper and Butthole, Chevy also made you amazing clothes. What are you guys wearing?
I think Juniper could pick her own outfit, but I think Butthole would suggest that they get masks for himself and Juniper and for the Moonbeams and for Bunny Hops, all of which are just copies of Moonhammer's butt with the hole where their mouth would be. So when they look at them, they still see Moonhammer's magnificent butt, and it just jiggles when they talk. So you can't see who they are. You just see Moonhammer's glory whenever you look at any of them.
Yeah,
Chevy's actually, like, I brought spare butts.
Juniper finds, like, there's a lot of joy in that. So
great. All right.
She's so real down.
Butts all the way down.
Yeah.
Butts out for Moonhammer. Amazing. So the other question that remains is, how are you going to arrive in style? Moonhammer, what is your preferred method of delivery?
Can I be carried in by like a bunch of flaming tortured souls on like one of those things that like a like people get carried on in like a
palanquin?
Palanquin?
Sure, totally. So because you're in God Hell, it's all like tortured gods. So you've got like the god of pop-up ads, you've got the god of buffering. You've got the
a
god of walking
hut related gods here
of the god of walking three wide on a sidewalk and not moving, just to the worst of the worst, and the carried on the shoulders of gods of minor annoyances, you are carried flatulently into the ballroom. So this is a floating glass ballroom. So think like a giant circular domed building that is just adrift over a sea in which you can see boats and various nautical gods who've been damned to forever guard a sea with no one in it. Kind of like glowering and shaking their fists up from the ocean beneath. As any good prom is, it's themed A Night Under the Sea. So there's also just like crepe paper and like just like blue streamers and like someone's crudely drawn a mermaid cutout, but they're very proud of it.
Nice.
So you're brought up a walkway on Boars, and you can see that a number of the other deification games winners are there in their various finery. There is the god of snorkels, who's just like a weird guy with just snorkels coming out of every part of his face, walking around with flippers and trying to like shake hands, but his hands are made of snorkels, so it's just like real awkward for all involved. It's like shaking hands with a fistful of flutes. It's just like not a fun experience for all involved.
I wonder how he won his tournament.
Eventually he like hits someone with the snorkels hard enough that they fall over.
Got it.
And he kind of looks left, looks right, and just jams them into their throat and starts like funneling blood. Just starts like spraying out of them like the fucking mer person in at the end of Cabin in the Woods. And people come over and pull him off, and he's like, I'm fine, let me shake more hands. And
I'm not voting for that guy.
You see the god of mascots, who is just like having a smoke, and they've taken off their mascot head to have a smoke, but underneath is another mascot head, and they're just doing the whole Russian doll thing where they're just taking more and more heads off trying to get to something that can smoke. So a variety of gods of all shapes and sizes around. But as you approach, Bunny hops in his butt mask, kind of runs in and just yells, presenting the goddess Moonhammer and the moonbeams. And there's like a scattered applause, but like no one's really paying attention because they're you know, busy, awkward dancing and getting shit faced on punch. But it's a pretty good entrance. No one else thought to have other gods carry them in, so that kind of immediately sets you apart. So I'm curious, friends, what are your tactics to try and make Moonhammer win Queen of the Prom?
Well, I think we'll flash back to a conversation.
This is 100%. Yes, I'm sorry, I should have been clear on that. This is a flashback.
No, all good.
Ocean's 11 style. You've arrived, and then like you know, the low bass comes in with a doom, 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 and we cut back to what you were secretly planning.
All right, so I'm thinking we got to send our four moonbeams out to start like a whisper campaign about how cool you are, and about how somebody else is secretly pregnant, but in that like bad way at some high schools or something. Because I don't entirely understand prom. Again, beaten by my father until I ran away to become a mercenary. Not a lot of prom experience.
And the sunbeam's like, you son of a bitch, I'm in. And they start coming up with whisper campaigns.
Perfect. All right. Now, they said there was a way we could just murder people. Moonhammer, how do you feel about murder?
I am not opposed to it.
Yes. If you win Queen of Prom, you will have to fight whoever else wins to the death. So this will end in a blood feud.
Yes. You guys know I fucking live for this shit.
Okay, cool. So... If we could try to identify some evil gods who definitely shouldn't win because they're evil, and then Juniper and I can murder them.
I mean, yeah, like we need to murder everybody else so that I can win. I have to win.
Yes, and Moonhammer, you also impart to them that your purpose for winning is to get close enough to Bale, who is the one of the lords of hell from like real dark hell down below, who is kind of the benefactor of this particular god prom. More importantly, you need the final piece of the bone key that will unlock the gateway to the source that will allow you to return home. Granted, you still got some other shit you got to get done in hell, but you'll need that key to access the person who can tell you what you need in order to actually get home, which basically means breaking some rules about reality. But like at this point, Moonhammer going to Moonhammer.
Say, what part of that do you relay to us, Moonhammer? Just because what Butthole, I mean, we've established already, Butthole clearly thinks the two of you are going to be together forever. And you are apparently trying to flee. So how much of this plan goes to the B-hole? And what's the spin on it if you don't want to have him ask questions you don't want?
Well, you guys know that I'm trying to get back home, right?
Are you asking in character or are you asking in general? Because they know about Butthala, but vaguely.
Well,
that I think is it.
In character, though, last time you helped Moonhammer, the goal was to become Queen of Hell because she was going to use that as leverage to eventually make her way back to her own realm. So this is a known thing from a long time ago. That isn't to say the characters haven't reshaped it in their minds.
I don't think that clicked with Butthole. I think he would just assume back home was like more hell or like a different heaven that would be totally cool and around forever.
I mean, just because I'm going back home doesn't mean you can't go.
Oh. Oh, so I get to go with you?
Alyssa, can you roll me a deception check? I don't believe you have it on your sheet. So it's just going to be a straight dice roll for you.
Which one?
So just roll a d20 and tell me the score.
18.
Butthole, can you roll an insight check at disadvantage, please? Or would you just trust Moonhammer? You can also not roll.
I think he's grown up a little bit, so he just like factors things together. And interestingly, with the disadvantage, I rolled a 17 and a 19, but I have plus 8. My lowest roll is 25.
Yeah, she says you can come with her, but it kind of sounds like you can't go with her.
See, it doesn't sound like I can go with you. So that means I'm here, but I don't have a goddess anymore. Like, what would happen to all your worshippers?
Butthole, I need you to trust me on this one.
See, you keep saying that, and then every new thing I learn makes it kind of scary, as though it's not what you said earlier.
Sorry, go ahead, Alyssa.
Blindly following your God is what religion is all about, Butthole.
But I had a thought since I had a different die roll since our last conversation. Fiddlesworth blindly followed you and he was terrible. He did bad things and then I ran him into the ground because he was wrong and then he died.
Alyssa, Fiddlesworth was one of several people you empowered with your magic back when you were first exiled from your realm and you had complete amnesia and were falling through space and time. You basically started trying to reestablish any kind of version of yourself anywhere you could. You did manage to convince a bunch of people to worship you in the ancient past. They built a temple to you that got over, that eventually kind of fell apart because you never spoke to them again because you fell through time somewhere. And eventually, once you stabilized a bit, you started empowering anyone you thought might help get you home. Unfortunately, this included people like King Mudbutt's evil dad, a guy named Beryl, I believe was you, Fiddlesworth, who is a butler that Ryan convinced to join your religion and then just kind of lost track of for a while. And he took it too far.
Yeah. A murderous cult leader who I had to murder, who like fought me.
If you weren't into friends, fun and flatulence, he would just fucking kill you because like Moonhammer be praised. But you did hash that out with Butthole in our last adventure by gently reminding him that, don't worry about it. but essentially just that as you were trying to establish yourself, like he was one of several people you talked to. And it just so happens that, you know, maybe you powered up some supervillains. But the important thing is that you love him.
Tell him that Fiddlesworth was a clerical error.
Very good. Wait, I love who? I love Fiddlesworth?
No, but Butthole. Fuck okay. Fiddlesworth. Fiddlesworth died a horrible death.
Well deserved.
Basically, I think what it shook out to for you, Moonhammer, is You were desperate. You were on your own. You'd lost most of your memory and most of your power. So you're just trying, you're just throwing spaghetti at the wall, hoping anything would stick. As it turns out, the traumatized guy who got hit in the head real hard turned out to be the winner. No one could have seen that coming. So to you, it was kind of like, yeah, I placed 10 bets and one of them paid off real big. I'm not real sad about the other nine. Whereas for Butthole, these were like people who challenged his very state of being. So all that to say, I think you're not remembering Fiddlesworth isn't even necessarily amnesia so much as it is just kind of like,
that guy?
What?
That was that one time you bet Fiddles on roulette in Vegas. What number came up? Who fucking cares?
Yeah, exactly. But for Butthole, this was a large deal.
Like, I don't even remember Fiddlesworth. He just was a blip.
Buddy Hops holds up a hand and he's like, actually, I hate to interrupt, but that's true. I don't have any record of a Fiddlesworth on here at all. And she told me literally everything.
Okay, well, that's good. Don't write that name down. He was a real wiener.
He scratches it out very quickly, like several times.
But I don't understand. Because if you, I come from a history of abusive, self-absorbed parents, which I'm just acknowledging can make me paranoid about things, but it also makes me watch out for things. And this sort of feels like I might be a tool that's going to help you leave and just abandon me here, and that this isn't really like a give and take, love and faith thing.
I'm not going to let anything bad happen to you. Okay? You just...
What about that acid, like, an hour ago?
Well, except for that. Okay, there might be little bad things, but if I can help it...
Juniper raises her hand and be like, what about when he died?
Yeah, but that wasn't that bad because he's alive now.
That's true. That's a tough one.
Also, Buddy Hops holds up another little finger and says, actually, I hate to be this guy, but I don't believe that Mr. Farch actually died. When Moonhammer was queen, that would have been a rather large occurrence. When Farthole Farch died, she made sure that he was put in a good position to assist in the eventual overthrow of the One of Many Faces. But Mr. Farch never came through hell at all, actually. If I'm understanding correctly, if there were portals, did you perhaps fall through one of those?
Oh, I mean, that makes the most sense. That's what I've always assumed. Yeah, I didn't die. No. Okay, the die thing is kind of a tough sell, because that's true. Okay, you know what? You are right, Moonhammer. I don't know why I ever question you. Every time I do, it turns out stupid, but then you say something that makes me think you're lying. It's a complicated world, and you're a complicated god, and I love you. I cannot wait until we get married or some other deal that will make me equally happy.
Thank you. Nod of approval.
Game bless.
Yay! Okay, so seriously though, should we look for evil gods and then try to murder them, or what do you want us to do?
We cut back to the archive. So Quinny and Reginald, you're looking to knock out, you're going for the stormtrooper gambit, right? Knock out a couple of clowns, put their outfits on, go in.
Oh, we were going to go in as exterminators.
Right, yeah. Right. So you got to go...
from the preservers of knowledge.
Right, okay.
Though, so, admittedly, we could probably just send Quinny in with his invisibility ring to steal two uniforms, and we don't have to knock anybody out.
King Quimby, what would you like to do?
Yeah, I would like to do that. Quinny going in quietly alone to grab clothes, absolutely. Like, this is low stakes here. So happy to just kind of go in there, grab what we need, and bring it out.
Yeah, so we just need clothes and tools and some kind of work order. If you can get one that says we have to go into the Citadel, because they really seem like paperwork people here.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll keep an eye out for all of that stuff.
All right, I will wait here with Vex, and we will not set anything on fire.
I think we both look at Vex.
She very quietly pushes the fireball she was building between her hands and then just like pretends to eat it and goes, ha ha.
Okay,
yeah, no, I know I'm not fooling anyone. I was going to do it. I'm sorry. Look...
Can you lock it in? I need you to lock it in here, Vex.
It's a pleasure to burn. I love it so... I'm sorry.
Vex, can you repeat after me?
I'm not sorry.
Can you repeat after me?
God, I wish Alan was here.
Sure, yep.
I...
Promise.
To lock it in. And really focus. And not blow stuff up until... It is beneficial to the group, not just me.
Man, fucking socialism sucks.
Thank you, Vex. And I turn on the Ring of Invisibility and disappear.
Oh, damn, where'd it go?
Okay, so do you know how to play dice? Like, I think Reginald's just been a soldier for so long. He does have dice, and he is he has proficiency in them. So
nice.
She turns around. She's like, yes, thank you.
All right, let's gamble on some weird shit. And then he starts betting on what he will allow her to blow up as a distraction.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, she bets. She was, I was actually going to say, she starts betting on what she's going to blow up.
Yeah, so does he.
Good, good, good.
Dum-Dums and Dice would like to welcome you to the grim darkness of the 41st millennium. I am Inquisitor Caveat Ventus, Keeper of the Inquisition's Black Library, and I'm releasing my report on the Valentine Heresy. It's an actual play podcast set in the Genesis adaptation of Warhammer 40,000's Dark Heresy RPG. Join Ryan LaPlante as Inquisitor Lucius Valentine, and Laura Elizabeth and Tyler Hewitt as hive-bred siblings Lyric and Alto, as this unlikely trio try to save the Emperor from a cabal of mysterious enemies in a series created by Games Master Tom McGee. Can these unlikely heroes survive in a galaxy where there is only war? Find out in the first episode of Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy. Available now.
Quinny, go ahead and roll me a stealth check with advantage, please.
Uh, 25.
Sneaky, sneaky boy. So you make your way into the Preservers of Knowledge, and sure enough, like everything else you've seen so far, it is an immaculate setup. Front desk, there's a clear stack of service orders, and you see a clerk just kind of scribbling away with a long quill. Beyond them, you can see a door kind of to the back room. Unfortunately, the door is closed, so you'll need to open it and sneak through. But beyond that, you can see racks and racks of outfits. So we're talking like same jumpsuits that you saw out with the Shredders, but with kind of the, think like the dude from like that sort of Team Fortress, like gas mask, like a classic gas mask. You know, the big glass eyes and like the little, filter at the bottom, leading to like a sort of a massive backpack, and then essentially like the end of one of those fancy showers you see at a hotel, on basically like a vaguely Seussical extermination gun for spraying.
Okay, great. So at this desk with the work orders, there's someone there at that desk.
Yes, there is a clerk working away, humming a tune to themselves.
All right, I will. I'll go over to like I guess there's like a coffee machine or something. Or
sure, yep, yeah. Hell Coffee.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over there. I'm just gonna turn on the coffee machine, so just like coffee's just coming out and like spilling onto like the counter and floor.
Sure, and the whole desk stands up, and like 100 tiny feet all start turning the desk, and you realize that the cleric is part of the desk, and it starts shuffling over, and you just hear, "Oh no." That's my favorite brew, and it's going to waste. And then the desk just bumps into the countertop, and you just hear, "Oh no! Curse these tiny arms!" Bumps in again, and then starts like turning around, and you can see this poor demon trying to reach desperately out for the coffee. But it's definitely bought you enough time to move.
Perfect. With each bump, I have like positioned myself around to where this like stack of work orders is. And with each bump, I help the stack to like fall off of the desk.
Okay, sure.
And I just pick one up, pocket it. So I'm assuming like putting it into my jacket now, it is like obscured and invisible.
Yeah,
as
it's
well.
It's the Harry Potter rule. So it like floats through the air, and then the second it's in your jacket.
So I grab a work order. I make sure to grab one that's for the archives. Just like archives, got it.
Yep.
Stick it in there. Next thing I can do is, looks like he's struggling pretty hard with this coffee machine. Yeah. So I'm just going to try and pick the, I'm going to try and open the door to the.
Yeah,
the
it's unlocked. Okay. It would have been an issue if.
Yeah, if the I'm door just opening was just like, it enough for me to basically slip through.
Great. Go ahead and roll me a sleight of hand, please.
That is 30 exactly.
Amazing. So you start to turn the knob and you hear a click. And then you kind of like roll your eyes. And it's like, I don't know if you remember this great scene in Futurama where they put Bender in jail. And he's like, yeah. Oh no, bars. How are you going to get out of here, Bender? Oh, let's shut up. And he just like, it's that kind of thing where you immediately disable the alarm and let yourself in. You're kind of hit with steam. It seems like there are vents in the ceiling that just kind of occasionally hose down everything in the room. You freeze for a moment as
Hollow Man.
Yeah, you get Hollow Man 100% for a second, and then it slowly disappears.
No, we can all see your huge hog.
Yeah, your non-spackled hog is present for all to see. But as the mist clears, you see a familiar figure changing out of one of the outfits. You don't know this guy necessarily by name, but you definitely recognize him as one of the Devlingtons.
One of the Devlingtons.
So just like you met them very briefly. You would have known them more so as Duala's guards back in the day, but you do remember that Butthole managed to befriend Jim Devlington and actually even bequeathed him Slaughtergore. However, you have received word that Jim was killed during the uprising. So you're unfamiliar with this particular Devlington, but you know when to see him because he looks like a devil from legend.
Okay. That's interesting and good to know. I think that might give me a little something to think on. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, I got to get these uniforms. So I'm going to move to a part of the change room that this Devlington fellow is not occupying to see if I can grab uniforms vaguely in my size and Reginald's size.
Sure. Yep. You can do that. They're all a little bit off, because demons have weird anatomy. So, there might be like an extra arm and that sort of thing, but yeah, you can definitely find them in your size and his size.
Great. They go into the bag of holding. So they're nice and tidy and put away. Masks as well. And now for this sounds like a large apparatus, this backpack.
Yeah. They're pretty clunky.
Yeah. I think it might just be a matter of like very carefully picking it up and just trying to walk through the front door with it, kind of like Neo in the Matrix, like being guided through the cubicles by Morpheus, just like
sure.
Everywhere someone's not looking, just trying to like this weird floating like backpack can of chemicals.
Okay, great. So go ahead and roll me stealth. I would say at disadvantage, but you're currently at advantage for being invisible. So it's just going to be straight stealth, which admittedly is still very good for you.
But it's in my favor, but it could go wrong.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes for the clerk.
28.
I got 10. Good old seven. Good for literally nothing. So at this point, there's an inch of coffee on the ground. Kind of splash your way through the coffee. As you back through the door, you've kind of got like there's another steam mist. And you get Hollow Man briefly. And through the mist, you see the Devlington just kind of turn. He's not like looking specifically at you. Also, the mist is annoying for him too. He almost seems to be enjoying it a little bit. Like it's a little bit like a Pepsi Cool Zone, mm-hmm. He's just kind of doing it. And he flashes a broad grin as this kind of mist hits him. And he kind of like throws his hair back and forth between his horns. And for a split second, you could swear it was Vex. Like you can just immediately see an uncanny resemblance. And then you back out through the door. Your Hollow Man spray kind of gradually dissipates. You make your way through the splish splashing through the coffee. At this point, the desk guy has fallen on his back.
My God, you just see like so a bunch of little legs
skittering around as he just reaches desperately for
Is
the coffee.
Is he like turtled? Like he can't get up?
I mean, he'll figure it out eventually.
I'm going to turn off the coffee machine. I feel terrible.
Okay.
I'm just going to put the thing down by the door and come back and just be like, click.
It stops and he says, Moonhammer, one of many faces be praised. And then under his breath, he just says, Thank you, Moonhammer. This has proved that you are a god who exists. My faith in you has been rewarded.
I'm gonna grab like the sugar, you know, the big glass yep. jar thing of sugar. I'm gonna like make like a dumb like show of it of like I'm gonna like invisibly like pick it up and like wobble it like in the air. Ooh. I'm gonna find a place on the floor that hasn't been sullied by coffee so the sugar doesn't just immediately melt. I'm just gonna pour the sugar out in like cursive letters like Moonhammer will return.
He's looking around the corner of his desk and he says, Yes, Moonhammer will return, and I, hoity-toity, first clerk of the preservers of knowledge, will spread the word when I can figure out how to stand up. Oh, well, I guess I could drink coffee this way, and then just hear slurping. He says, could use some sugar. You hear some like splashing as he tries to like get the sugar over. And at this point, you're out the door.
And then it's like the sugar thing like gets placed down on the ground. He just watches like a backpack of like insecticide chemicals like rise up and go out the door.
And he's like, Moonhammer must need that. I'll be sure to fill out the paperwork. You make your way back outside, you meet Reginald and Vex. Ryan, let's see who wins at dice. We're gonna do best 2 out of 3. Roll 2d6. I don't know, closest to 12 wins.
All right. Well, I got a 10.
I got a 9. So you win the first round.
Oh, I got a 5.
I also got a 5. Tie.
Ooh.
We should be playing the Gwent theme quietly right now.
I got a 7.
I got a 3. So you take the day. Vex has no money because she used all those gems on the ritual. But she says, okay, so you won, and that's awesome. And I respect winning. So I tell you what, I'm going to give you one freebie. You point at one thing you don't like sometime in over the course of our adventure, and I'll just fucking throw a fireball at it. Okay? And you get to pick, not me.
That's nice. I really appreciate it.
But also, I'm going to lock it down because that's what Quinny told me to do.
I think, So we'll do the one that, so I won a version of that. And then let's say for my second win, you can't blow up any schools for children.
Oh, yeah, no, I've never blow up children.
Blow up any adult learning centers you want.
There might be a military school, so I got to make sure to put the asterisks on that. But like,
oh, yeah. Like if we've got to stop some kind of Ender's Game scenario, we got to stop that, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Especially if it's full of adults. But no, that feels good. So cool. Hey, a floating backpack. Quinny, I'm imagining that's you.
Yep, that's me.
All right, cool. So what did you learn? You got the stuff?
Yeah.
Do you need me to cover your tracks?
No, you're actually not going to want to destroy that building. I think you might have a family member in there. You know, is the family familial demon name Devlington? Or devil name Devlington mean anything to you?
Listen, I don't want to be picky, but could you take the ring off? Talking to a backpack feels weird.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll just deactivate it.
Huh, oh, shit, it's Quitty. Devlington, I mean, my great-great-grandfather always spoke of a Darvlington. Do you think that could have been a code name?
I think someone, like, smudged some paperwork.
Yeah, or he was drunk and just said the wrong word.
Yeah.
He did like the sauce.
Oh, so maybe someone spilled some sauce on the name.
Yeah, like gummy sauce. So he's like, he would say Devlington, but it was like a sticky barbecue sauce. He was like, yeah, you get it. Interesting. Okay, well, maybe that's it. Do you guys know anything about the Devlingtons?
Nope.
They were tight with Butthole.
Wait, I'm sorry, Butthole?
Oh, we have a friend named Butthole.
Apparently, and he's tight? He's a tight butthole?
Yeah, tight and round and important, apparently.
Wow, I don't know how you say that name with a straight face for extended periods of time, but that is awesome. I love him. I can't wait to meet him. Okay, so I'll ask, if we meet him, I'll ask him about it.
But, like, do you want to go in and try to, like, get an appointment to talk to a Devlington or something? Like, it feels like there's something really close to here that might help you that we're kind of walking away from.
The lobby's kind of a whole situation right now in that place.
Also, like, want to blow our cover if he turns out to be evil? I mean, this was generations ago. Like, I fully believe that, like, my great-great-great-grand-whatever was cool, but, like, this guy might be an asshole.
I mean, okay.
Sometimes people's family are assholes. It's true.
We know where to find him. So once we talk to your friend Butthole, I'll just come back here if that'll help.
That makes sense to me.
Can we go suit up in an alley somewhere?
Do you need me to make one?
I imagine we're standing inside the ruined cafe that I got thrown.
Yes, out. Yes, I imagine this is your little like staging operation.
Great.
Area.
Then out comes the bag of holding with a uniform for Reginald, a uniform for me. I slap the work order on a table just so that we can kind of get familiar with our alibi for walking through there. And I pull out the two masks.
Okay, so I'm thinking if I wear this huge backpack, but you carry the work order, you're the talkier guy. We've established you're a better liar, so...
I was thinking the same thing. We don't both need them. You wear the backpack, right? Yeah.
Great. Yeah. I'll be the muscly silent type. And he's strapped the uniform on over his armor, so he just looks demon bulky. He's like, yeah, so I'll wear all this crap, and then you talk. I'm good.
Perfect. Yeah. I get into the jumpsuit. Gas mask goes on, and I put the work order in my front pocket. What does the work order say about the archives?
I think we'll say that it's one that is forthcoming, just standard spray.
Okay, so like just, a regularly scheduled kind of.
Yeah. We'll say it's for the preserved plays section of the archive. So just keeping the theatrical traditions alive and well.
Okay.
Should I like test fire this thing in an alley or something, or do we just want to be surprised when I pull the button?
I mean, we may not have to use it at all, but you might as well see what it does in case we have to use it.
Oh,
we're not actually here to kill bugs.
Well, they might show up. So he just like steps into the alleyway and fires the gun. Tommy just wants to know what it does.
It's like turning on a hose that has like that multi-head spray. Things are kind of bucks in your arms and sprays like a not like a power washer situation by any stretch. But just kind of a light misting that's kind of there's a nozzle on the end that you can turn to make it super concentrated or relatively dispersed.
Cool. Having sprayed it, Tom, can I smell the ground?
Sure. Yep.
It's a weird thing, but like I am a mutagen blood hunter, so I deal with a lot of like chemicals. I'm immune to being poisoned. Like I have a bunch of different poisons I could ingest and like shit like that. So. I'm trying to figure out what the chemical is. I'm probably the only person who can. So I know like, oh, if we get jumped, is this thing of use or is this?
Sure. Can you roll, I guess, investigate? What's your, do you have a power that would specifically let you
investigation would work for me.
Sure. Let's do that then.
All righty. Aha, nat 20.
Damn.
All right. So,
this
yes.
is your recipe.
I made this. This is a Unix system. I know this. You recognize not this specific brand, but it's definitely familiar to you. This would be a high grade irritant if sprayed on a non bug. So it would definitely confer disadvantage and likely reduce movement because it's like a it would stick to the skin and be sticky and kind of burn. It wouldn't cause real damage, but it would be tremendously inconvenient.
All right, so this is really going to piss people off if I have to use it on people or demons or whatever, but it'll be good on the pests. This is useful.
So no, next stop, the archives.
Next off, the archives, indeed. Meanwhile, at the prom. So your plan is to find the biggest and baddest and kill them to improve Moonhammer's odds. Is that correct?
Juniper didn't get to object yet, but I think Juniper wanted to object.
No one's mentioned it, so maybe the answer is obvious, but what kind of ramifications is killing a bunch of gods going to have?
I mean, from what I've seen, none. You just go around and kill them, and then they come back, but they're your god's friend now.
Well, and these, there are a few living gods at this, but most of them are dead gods. They had their chance and they fucked up somehow and or got themselves murdered so they'd get a chance to steal a key. So
realistically, if we kill these gods, there's like no backlash in like the world, alive world.
No, because if they had like a big church or something, they'd probably be alive.
And they might still be being worshipped. They're just dead. So you're not... I would say, Juniper, from a Great Collide perspective, you aren't fucking... This is actually, weirdly, a bit of a dead-end street. So kind of what happens at the dead-end street, like, won't have ramifications. This is the end of the road for gods that are forgotten or have been killed.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, murder's kind of easy. Or we could do bribery if someone's got an objection to murder. Moonhammer, are there any promises you'd like to make to other gods if you'd become the live god or whatever? I don't think you want 1,000 moonbeams. That's going to be a pain in the ass. So probably something less, but that they'd still want.
Hmm? What?
I don't know. Is there anything you want us to offer? Because like how bribes work. I mean, you're a goddess, so you don't always have to do bribes. But the idea would be that they're going to do what you want, because after they do that, you're going to give them something that they want. So like, what would you want to give them?
Hmm. If they follow me and like become just followers and worshipers of Moonhammer, mm-hmm. then they will be graced with the ability to like make friends and build the
religion. I get it. I'm going to read between the lines because this is what I do. Juniper, what Moonhammer's suggesting is that we go around the party and we find out what people's social problems are. Like if they're having a fight with their girlfriend, or if they don't know how to get in with their cool kids, or like if they're not allowed to be part of a certain club, and then we solve those social issues. So they get to like have their first date or whatever, and then we get the votes.
I mean, I do have to be the most popular one here. So I do have to win by popular vote.
Yeah, yeah.
Make me the... hell god prom queen.
That's why we're gonna wear the butt masks. I mean, we won't get any credit. It's all you.
If we murder them all, then there's gonna be nobody to vote for me.
That's true. Okay, murder's out, because that is a terrible democratic theory, unless we could kill everyone. But if we could do that, we'd already win. So
I just want to say, I can always pull out Mrs. Paisley for a bit. She's excellent at forging signatures and other documents. It's almost like a special skill that she has.
All right. Almost. I'm super charming, and Mrs. Paisley's great at fraud, which sounds like she's approaching a con woman. So what if Paisley and I go around and win over as many people as possible, and the Moonbeams do their whisper campaign, and Moonhammer, you can try to, I don't know.
I'll use my power of friendship to become the most popular person here. Everybody will like me because I'm everybody's friend.
All right, so Moonhammer's going to befriend everybody. We're going to do con work to help friends gain new friends.
Look, Mrs. Paisley can, like, redo some votes is what I was thinking.
All right, we're going to make the entire election fraudulent. Moonhammer's going to make friends, and the Moonbeams are going to do a whisper campaign.
Go.
I want to be clear, no other election has ever been fraudulent. In any world, none of them. But we're doing it this one time, and it does not reflect anything in any other dimension. This is not a metaphor. This is just what we're doing for the sake of this game. Not a veiled opinion.
Go.
Odd thing to say.
Prom. with that, you spread out into prom crowd to affect this entirely politically meaningless election that is only for the funsies of being declared one of the two dead, like, death combatants at the end of a thing. So to Ryan's point, yes, non-politically charged, non-consequential vote rigging, yay. Actual vote rigging, boo.
Yeah. Dum Dums and Dice does not endorse vote fraud, committing fraud.
On that note, let's commit some fraud. Moonhammer, you will note on your sheet that despite being a goddess of friends and fellowship, you've been through some tough times of late. So your charisma is bad. I think for you, the act of going around and making friends is kind of like when the big scary jock is like, hey, you're going to be my friend, right? And you're like, I sure am. We'll use your, how do you think you would approach people to make them your friends? Keeping in mind that to your mind, this is just pure charisma. Like you're just schmoozing and everything is fine. But I'm imagining this as a bit of like a Dwight Schrute or like a Dina from Superstore, just like no actual clue how to do this, but like is aware of what the concept is. So just kind of like, here's my version. I assume this is correct. What is your version of making friends?
I'm going to go up to people and get them to feel my muscles.
Okay, great.
To, impress them, like flex in front of them, and they're going to be graced with my presence. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm going to let them have the honor of feeling my biceps.
Okay,
to
I love
be clear,
that.
They are just feeling a series of jiggling butts, though, right?
No, like I was gonna, you know, flex and.
But there are butts on your arms, right?
No, my dress is strapless.
Got
it. It's like strapless and form fitted, and it's got like the low back, so it's just like two big butts on my chest and like two smaller butts on my abs. Like, yeah, it's all.
Got it.
But my arms and my...
I mean, you
got
to keep the guns out, you know? You can't holster those bad boys. Okay, so can you roll me a strength save, please?
Okay. The 20?
Yeah, so roll a d20. And here's a tremendously strange question. Do you feel like you're full of rage while you do this? Like, is it an angry, like, be my friend or I'll break your arm? Or is it, or are you legitimately trying to be charming?
Yeah, I think I'm trying to be charming in my own way.
So no rage then. This is
okay.
This is just you doing your best.
I was gonna say, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
That might come out later if this isn't successful. I mean,
yeah, totally fair.
Frustrated. Okay, it's a 15.
15. Okay, cool. So you start doing that, and people are a little hesitant, but they do recall that you did like body slam a rib cage out of a Hydra earlier today. So they're like, you know, it's a little hesitant at first, and then people are kind of getting into it. You know, there's a lot of like, oh wow, that is potent. Also, are these your butts? Did you get a butt model? Like, they start talking to you about the outfit and your biceps, and like, honestly, pretty good so far. So far things are going all right. Juniper, you transform into Mrs. Paisley. Here's a question. Does Mrs. Paisley have a prom outfit?
I'm still in the armor, right? A Blingdenstone?
Yes.
Correct? Yeah. So I think that's shit's just... I was going to
we'll say
she's just
you...
in the armor.
I think
she needs to put a flowery skirt over top of it.
Yeah, Juniper, I'm going to skip a step for us here and sort of add something previously. We'll say that because you were granted a new form by Rhetoric, you have your Juniper shit back.
That's nice.
Yeah, so you're in the armor of Blingdenstone. Like, you've still got all the stuff from Old West Juniper's body, but he re-equipped you with your stuff as a parting gift and a thank you for not shredding reality. It was going to be a real pain in his ass.
You say, Tom, with the new merging forms and being able to absorb the chair and all of those things, could the original outfit be absorbed so she just becomes Miss Paisley in a dress and would switch back to Blingdenstone, or is the outfit changing still manual?
I would be inclined to say with this new druidic power that you can fully shift your form because you're no longer just changing your face. Fuck. You're changing your entire being. So yes, if you want to be Mrs. Paisley in an outfit, you can.
Well, then she's got to go flowery blouse, brown skirt, classic Mrs. Paisley.
Great. Love it. Because I agree, Ryan. It's since we're treating it largely because we're reverse engineering the combat wheelchair rules around druids, makes perfect sense to me that we follow that all the way through.
Small gnome woman now.
Great. You pop out
with a juniper sized butt mask. It's like the size of her torso.
You see another like from across the way. Take My Breath Away starts playing, and a shirtless gnome with incredibly good abs wearing a giant butt mask just kind of turns in slow motion, and it's like a lover's eyes meet, but it's just like two butt masks looking at each other from across a room. You just see him like slowly caressing each ab in kind of like a come hither way. But Mrs. Paisley, you don't got time for that.
Oh, to be young again.
You got some forging to do. So, Laura, what skill would you like to use for your forgeries? I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm proficient with the forgery kit.
Okay, let's go deception then. I think that makes the most sense.
I think that's probably because it's the whole thing is deceitful.
Yeah, totally. So. Yeah, and I think you have a forgery kit, we'll say that you have advantage.
Yeah, I was going to say, Butthole would be using his, like, thaumaturgy and other things to have conversations and distract people while she's doing her forging.
Okay. Right. So with advantage, please, Laura.
All right. Oh, so that's a 19.
Okay. Yep. You do some good ballot stuffing.
Yay!
But given that it is themed like a high school prom, it really is just like little slips of paper with like a, it's kind of like yes, no, maybe boxes.
It's just like, it's a, yeah.
Like you, exactly. You sit down, like you crack your knuckles, you bring out your forgery kit, you open it, it's just like, just write an X. Anyone could do this. Yeah. You just like go nuts. Great. And
then, I can do so many of these now.
You set up like an assembly line.
Yeah.
You look across, there's like another, like the god of like slightly delayed buffering is also doing it, but just slower because he's not as good at it. Cool. And then Ryan.
You just see Butthole go carry that guy into the bathroom and Butthole comes out alone. It's just...
Yep. He raised his fist.
Is he like dripping any water?
Yeah.
Do not go in there. The god of buffering goes to punch you, but then his hand stops and there's a little spinning circle, which lets you just pick him up and carry him away. Great. So, Butthole, you are wandering around trying to convince people of the benefits of Moonhammer friendship. This is well and truly your jam. What is your tactic, and which god are you trying to talk up?
So Butthole would be looking for gods who are definitely not in the running. Like he'd be looking for the down and out, the kind of, if we're talking high school, he'd be looking for like the nerds, the band geeks, sure. like the rebels who are looking for a cause to get behind. And he'd be talking about how Moonhammer's all about, you know, the little guy or gal and always backing up whoever needs things. And Moonhammer loves friendship, which means Moonhammer's looking for new friends and not necessarily people who've got 1,000 friends. Those friends seem awful. Do you know what? She's looking for the quality. She's looking for the cream of the crop. Let me tell you the story of Garvo. And it's just, he starts using like Garvo the Undying story is like a parable for what it means to be Moonhammer's friend. Unrecognized and unseen, but so valued, you'll live eternally. And all
especially
that
if you get
stuff.
Turned into a tree. Okay, yeah. Great.
He doesn't know that. He's forgotten that part, I think.
Yeah. That's. I mean, also, he's still not wrong. So go ahead and roll me persuasion, please.
Is it fair to say that I would probably cast, what is it that I have?
Guidance?
I have one that... Yeah, I've got my, like, I can add a D4.
That's guidance.
Concentration.
Hmm? Yep.
All right, that brings me to 13.
So the good news is you have convinced these underdogs that they should totally vote Moonhammer. Unfortunately, there are not that many underdogs. So they will vote Moonhammer, but there's like 6 of them. And they are super excited to do it. Unfortunately the indoor kids will not be able to help you as much as you'd hoped. But the good news is you've all had varying degrees of success. So sure enough, you're feeling pretty good when the MC who you recognize from the arena gets up there and just says, well, hello, everybody. It's me, your old friend, Richard Johnson. And I am thrilled to be your MC for this evening. I hope you're all having good, safe fun. Remember, the Hellcab number is near the door. So if you need a ride home, just call yourself a Hellcab. We don't need anyone falling into the sea of despair below us. Man, some of those sea gods are furious about the stuff we dump in there. So don't fall in. Okay, so we're very excited to get the voting underway. It seems that the ballot boxes are in. So everybody hang tight while we play this extraordinarily long drum roll as we count all the votes. And you look over and there's just like a single goblin who's just like, and with that, you watch them slowly begin to count and mark down the votes as everyone waits in rapt silence. Meanwhile, you've entered the archives, Reginald and Quinny. You get past the front desk without any difficulty. Another sort of clerk creature says, "Oh, you're a little bit early, but come on in." You begin to make your way through. What are you guys going to try and do now that you're in here? I know you're looking for a lawyer, but like what specifically are you?
I think first and foremost is we need to learn how the archives are oriented, how information is organized down here and things like that. Is that apparent through just observation or do
you need to investigate? It is extraordinarily well labeled. Like everything here is it's what hospitals try and do, like just very, very cleanly laid out.
Oh, so he's using like lines on the floor being like, follow this line to like.
Yeah.
All right. So realistically, we need to find a lawyer. We need to find anything we can find about how to void contracts, specifically en masse.
Some sort of ultimate annulment. Yeah.
Yeah. And annulments will be right next to divorce, which I also have to look into for gods. It's a long story. What? It's for the piss guy. It's going to be fine.
Oh, God. All right. Let's leave that for last, if it's okay with you, just because time is a factor, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that being left for last. I realize I should have flagged more honestly that it's probably the only way we can defeat Captain Plantier, but it's a thing.
Oh, okay. No, we need to make sure that gets done. Okay.
So can you guys roll me, we'll say this is a Quinny roll, but Ryan, you can assist. So an investigation check with advantage.
I was going to say, this actually would play to Reginald's, he's highly intelligent.
Okay. Quinny, would you let Reginald take the lead on this?
Yeah, I think it's like a cooperative thing. So it's just like we're both looking as far as I'm.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we'll both look at the map. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So I guess you know what? Fuck it. Just you can either one of you can get advantage or you can both roll. It works, it nets out to the same, I think.
Both roll.
I was gonna say if Reginald's not like let me take this or like help me do this, great. Then it would just be us looking separately.
Yeah, yeah, but both, together. Both go ahead and roll.
So you wanted that investigation?
Yes, please.
Okay, I got a 9.
I got 19 for Reginald.
Ooh, there we go.
Great. So yes, you're able to find the directions to what you're looking for fairly easily. Again, labeling system in here is fucking rad. So you begin making your way down the hall, doing, I assume, kind of like bad exterminator acting. A lot of like, oh, got to find those bugs. Like a lot of kind of vaguely conspicuous looking around. The place is relatively empty, like everywhere you found. It is sparsely populated. But every so often you catch sight of a clerk kind of going here or there, sometimes leading demons through clearly, you know, to a specific site. And finally, you find sort of a massive set of doors that lead into the section. Forgive me, you're after, I know you're after lawyers, annulments. What was the other piece?
So there's lawyers, there's annulment / divorce, and there was how to void contracts. Like we need the contract law, how to do like en masse, because figuring out how to break one contract won't help us if there's 10 billion of them. We need like the big clauses.
Yeah,
great. So you're heading into like the high security, the highest security zone. So you reach a set of double doors and there is obviously a guard standing there. And this guy does legitimately look intimidating. He's a bigger, bulkier guy. He just says, oh, preservers of knowledge. Y'all aren't supposed to be here till tomorrow. I'm afraid I can't let you in.
Yeah, I think our schedules might have gotten mixed up there because we were given in a call that we had to come in through this part today. We got told that it got bumped up.
Yeah, that's fine. We got a VIP in there right now, so that's just not going to happen for you.
Oh, geez. How long is the VIP in there for? You know, we got other places to go to today.
Look, that's fine, but the one of many faces himself told us that this VIP is to be accorded every courtesy.
One of many faces? No kidding. Okay, well, I mean, look, just one working Joe to another, he's not in there, is he? The big guy himself?
No.
Okay. I've never seen him. Okay.
He's got many faces.
No kidding. All right. Well, okay. Well, thanks for letting us know. We'll finish up out here then.
So you're not going to force the door?
Not right now. I want to talk to Reginald.
Great. So you guys fuck off a little bit back the way you came and get out of earshot.
I take off the ring of invisibility and I hand it to him and I say, now seems like as good a time as ever, buddy. VIP through that door, that could be, you know, if someone that the one of many faces thinks is pretty important, they might have the information we need to really fuck his day up.
Oh, I completely agree, but here's kind of an awkward moment. I think you might need to sneak up and be in a position to be able to stab that guy if he hears me, because I like the ring. The ring buds very well, but I don't do stealth, and I'm a little bit nervous.
Okay, so I'm fine with that. I think I'm fine with that. We take this guy out to get through that door, right? There's no other way in. The other thing we can do is we can distract him. I mean, if you want to make noise and be invisible and have him come investigate your noise, that would be great.
Oh, that's pretty good. Then we just make him go sleepy. We don't even need to kill him, but we probably should. I don't know. Up to you. But do you want me to try to sneak past and just be ready to cover me? Or do you want me to be over here being like, help, I've fallen and I can't get up. And then you could just take him out.
Let's start with that. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Okie dokie. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
And I've scrambled to hide. I'm like, God damn it, Reginald.
Roll a deception check there, bud.
That's a 17.
The guy goes, oh, we can't afford another lawsuit. There's too many lawyers around. And he comes like running over. Like, Quinny, you're going to try and sneak by?
Yeah.
Great. So you begin to book it past, rushing for the doors. You sneak through them rather quickly and find yourself in a massive, beautiful library. Sorry, were you expecting resistance at the door?
No, I think we were going to knock him out, but I think this is now Reginald's baby. Reginald's going to be invisible, I think, and deal with him, and I guess I'll meet him at the door.
Okay, sorry, I was a little confused about what's going on.
No, we're committing to this now. This is funnier.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the confusion of our plan is both of us enacting two separate plans without the other's help.
Great. Yeah. So, Quinny, you dart into the library. Massive, we're talking like Beauty and the Beast style library. Five stories tall. There's kind of ladders and staircases everywhere. As you rush in, you feel a bit of a quiver as you pass through the door. And you gave him the ring, right?
I gave the ring of invisibility to Reginald. Yes.
Great. So you're just clear. So you move through. Your old thief sense is pretty glad you didn't have the ring on because you just passed through an anti-magic field that would have really fucked that up.
I hesitate to ask, but is my eye okay?
It wasn't in
I
use.
Wasn't
it was
using
under the patch,
it. Okay.
So you're fine. It was just if anyone comes in with anything that's active, it scrambles the shit out of it. But
okay.
If it's inactive, like it also doesn't fuck with your magic weapons or anything as long as they're not in use.
Got
the
it.
Idea would be if you run in with a flaming sword, it just blinks out. You're like, oh no, it's just a stupid sword now. And then someone punches you to death. So you rush in and again, beautiful filing system. But you are stopped in your tracks by a blast that hits the ground in front of you with a wisp of smoke. And as you look up, you see a small dragonborn wearing a cloak with a book in one hand who just looks down and goes, oh, hey, Quinny. Sorry, man. Now you got to die. And Quinny, that is how you were reunited with your old pal, Bucky.
Hey, kid. Ow.
Meanwhile, the drum roll has been going for some time. And finally, it comes to an end, and everyone is exhausted. Like no one was here for it. It finally ends, and Richard Johnson says, "Okay, there were a lot of votes, more than I think there are people here by a few, but who am I to argue with the tried and tested?" Stuff ballots in a box at an event where everyone is drunk for a low stakes victory. So your queen of God Prom is Moon Hammer. Moon Hammer, if you could take to the stage.
Yay! I knew
and
it.
Your new king is Ramsey Blade Shadow, God of Poisonous Wrist Blades. And you see just a like long cloaked, kind of like Assassin's Creed looking motherfucker, just kind of clicking his wrist out. It looks a little bit like Pedro Pascal. He gets up there, he flips back the cloak. he's got just kind of like war paint down his face. He turns to you, Moonhammer, and just kind of nods. It's a little bit of a game recognized game piece. He just says, "I appreciate your hammer hands and your butt attire. You are truly a formidable opponent. I was taken down by the combined armies of several nations on my planet. I laid three to waste. Only one remains, but they eventually got me. It was pretty good. I will do anything to return and burn that kingdom to the ground. How about you? How'd you end up here?"
"Well, I was the Queen of Hell."
Impressive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. "And then I was, you know, killed by the one of many faces."
"Oh, I've heard of him. Yeah. Yes. Sounds like quite a busy fellow. Well, this should be fun. May the best killer win." And he flexes and his robe shreds as blades spike out of his shoulders, his arms, his hands. Like his teeth drop into blades. He just kind of like rolls his back. Grievous style arms flip up and around, and he kind of drops into a fighting pose. And Richard Johnson is like, "Oh damn, he is spooky." Moonhammer, you ready for this?
"Fuck yeah."
And with that, you raise your hammer hands, drop into a fighting stance, and are immediately sprayed with blood as Ramsey explodes. There's a shower of glass. And rising from his Tony Stark drop, bluish green hair swept majestically back over his burnt face, Captain Plantier rises and just says, "Hey, babe, good to see you."
This episode of Dumb Dumbs and Dragons features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Laura Elizabeth at EL Hamstring on Twitter, our special guest, and our DM Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and Dumb Dumbs and Dragons logo is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. Our theme songs are "And Now for That Massive Coronary" and "Skipping Through the Orchestra Pit Part 1 by Peter Gresser, and our ad music is "No Control" and "Chiefs" by Jazzar, J-A-A HZZAR, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's dumbdumbdice. And tune in next week for more Dum Dums and Dragons. Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire on Friendly, Great Dane, Acrix, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.